This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
You know, it's all about making progress and cutting through the wasted time and making the best amount of progress that you possibly can when it comes to building muscle and burning fat. That's what this entire show is about today. During the first hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. I never call him Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. I always act familiar with him. But anyway, to talk about his most recent paper, The Effects of Protein Timing on Muscle Strength and Hypertrophy, to get to the bottom of, is there a magic window of opportunity when feeding muscle protein pre and post workout? Second hour, we'll be joined by Tom Venuto, renowned author of his new book, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. So this ought to be an interesting discussion. Want to welcome a new sponsor to the show, and that is Patrick Arnold and Prototype Nutrition. You've heard about KettoForce. KettoForce is a keto salt. Three capfuls puts you into full-blown ketosis in under 10 minutes. And you can get it by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the KettoForce banner ad today. So check that out. Brad Schoenfeld, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Carl, and always great to be on.
Yeah, you know, I just call you Brad, you know, but the reality is that, you know, your contribution to the never-ending pursuit of building muscle more efficiently without digging yourself into a grave, so to speak, is really been an amazing thing. And in true form of that, tell the audience what you told me during the pre-interview about the popularity of this current paper right now.
Yeah, and by the way, before doing that, I just want to qualify that I'm actually defending, I'm not quite doctor yet, I am a pre-doctor, I'm defending my dissertation January 11th, so I hopefully at that point will
You're a doctor of the superhuman nation. I am applying superhuman nation. We have our own status here. We have our own government here at the superhuman nation. You are officially a doctor here on this show. So there you go.
Well, thank you, Carl. Yeah. And it's like, as I was telling you, this paper has taken off in the, it was published in the Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and it's been out just over a week now, and it already has just about 50,000 views and is the number two most viewed article in all of JISSN for the past year.
For the entire year, just in 1 week?
Correct. And it's number six all time in JISSN after 1 week of publication.
So we can probably expect that, you know, over the course of these weeks and going into January, will probably be the most popular paper ever published on JSN. So that's pretty cool right there. Why do you think that is? Is this discussion about protein timing one of those discussions where some of the studies line up on one side, some of the studies line up on the other side, so people are still looking for conclusive evidence?
Yeah, I personally think that's really, this is a very hot topic there's been a lot of, as you might want to call, bro science associated with it, but there's also a lot of science, and really that's one of the things that struck me, and I can give you just a little background, because I'd always been a huge proponent of nutrient timing. I'd read the book by Ivy and Portman back in 2004, the seminal text on nutrient timing. I'd seen the studies, I'd seen some of the conflicting evidence, but there's been a lot of acute studies that have been done that made sense to me, and I'd seen some very prominent researchers lecture on the topic, and all of them seemed to support the nutrient timing, so I had kind of just fallen in line until a couple of years ago, I had my good friend and colleague Alan Aragon review the nutritional chapter for my book Max Muscle Plan, and I discussed nutrient timing, and he basically questioned me on it and started. We discussed it a little, and I trust Alan is one of the most astute guys in the field in nutrition. We talked about it, and of course, I never trust authority or anyone, so I then started doing my own research and really was impressed with the fact that the evidence was not conclusive at all, and there was a lot of gaps. And ultimately, Alan and I wrote a paper on this, a review paper for JISSN about a year ago, and that prompted us to say that we need some quantitative data, and thus we started in with our meta-analysis. And I also do want to just point out for those who don't know what a meta-analysis is, basically you pool all the data. So you look to the literature and you do a systematic analysis of every paper that's ever been done on a topic, and you set certain inclusion-exclusion criteria, and then you pool the data. So you basically you equalize the data through statistical methodology, and this allows you to get much greater statistical power. One of the real issues with training research in general is that they're done on very small sample sizes. These studies are very time-consuming and expensive to carry out. So you don't, generally in a training study, you don't have more than 20 or certainly 30 participants, and that limits your statistical power. So if you can get a lot of these studies pooled, you end up getting much greater power, and that can give you much greater insight into a topic.
Okay, one nuance I just want to point out here that we just kind of really ran over, and it's an aside to the discussion. But what you have just heard verbalized is rigorous scientific discourse. And what I mean by that is Brad had an opinion about nutrient timing, and when he was challenged, he didn't dig his heels in and lead with his emotions. He said, let me look at this. This is something that is almost devoid today on the internet. You have people who take a position and are unwilling to review and defend their position with science. They immediately become adversarial when you challenge them. I know this is like, this has nothing to do with the interview, but I was in Chicago recently talking to somebody about an unrelated topic, but still scientific. And she's very, very high level at the University of Illinois. And she said, oh, that's nonsense. And then I sent her the studies. It's like scientists don't ever say you're wrong unabashedly. They go, let me look into this, or let me think about it, or let me see. I just want to applaud you for that, because that means that you'll always be giving good current information, because you don't have a dog in the fight other than the truth.
And that's such a great point, Carl, and thank you for bringing that up, because a true scientist is curious, he's skeptical, or she is curious, skeptical, and objective. And my good friend Brett Contreras, I'll cop a line from him, stating that my philosophy is this is what I know today, but I reserve the right to change my opinion tomorrow based on new evidence that comes out. And I am never married to a topic, and no one should ever be ashamed to say, hey, it's not even that you were wrong. You were basing opinions on what you had thought was the best evidence at the time, and we should always be reevaluating our evidence because we're constantly getting new evidence over time, and be willing to change. There's nothing that we should be hardened into, and if you are hardened into something, you're just simply not taking a scientific approach.
Bingo, bingo. Now, let me ask you to clarify a couple of the some of the nomenclature in this study. What does ES stand for?
Well, that's an effect size. So effect size is basically it gives an indication of the magnitude of the effect of the power or the what you found. So an effect size is telling you how strong was the indication of the effect that you found, and that's based upon the actual results and also what's called a standard deviation, so how much variance there is in the results. And basically it's a way to standardize results and give you an actual qualification or quantification of how strong the effect is that you're looking at.
What were some of the criteria that either included or excluded studies for this particular analysis?
Yeah, so the basic inclusion-exclusion criteria, we looked at studies that compared protein given within an hour on either side of the workout, so pre or post, versus 2 hours, they had to have given protein within an hour on each side and then given a protein dose outside of 2 hours. So there was at least that hour, you know, above 2 hours versus 1 hour and 8.
Now, was that above 2 hour the only, or did that follow the 1 hour? So in other words, was it 1 hour and then 1 hour, or 1 hour or 2 hours?
No, it was one or two, right. So these were, basically it was two groups, or else some of them were, I think one or two were crossover studies where they did, they had the same subjects repeat at different times. But anyway, so they were never doing 1 hour and then another one 2 hours later. So you had one group would do 1 hour or less, and then another group would do 2 hours or more. And most of them, or many of them, were far past that, like morning, around the workout, and then morning versus evening were a bunch of them. Several were 3 hours plus. So, there was all sorts of, now that's one of the issues, is that there was different timing effects, and it's hard. We can talk a little about some of the limitations of the research. But bottom line is, so that was one criteria. Another one, they had to give at least 6 grams of essential amino acids, which correlates to about 18 grams of whey, a good quality, like whey protein source. So we didn't take, if they gave, one study that we had to exclude gave 10 grams of protein, which equated to about 3 grams of essential amino acids, and then it's hard to, it's below an effect, a level where you really see a big effect, where you would get a pronounced effect from that. We made sure they were healthy. So there's some other basic criteria outside of that, but those were the primary ones.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we've got lots of good questions. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. We're talking about the effect of protein timing when you actually have your protein and its effect on strength and muscle growth, hypertrophy. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented chill right process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com. From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a free bottle of beautiful facial moisturizer for women from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train faster or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto Force banner ad today.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. We're talking about protein timing and its effect on muscle growth and muscle strength. Okay, another thing that was unique about this was these were all humans, right? All the studies were done that you chose had human participants, right?
That's correct. And I should mention another criteria was they had to last a minimum of 6 weeks.
Okay. And also, these were fairly well-trained individuals. These were not newbies, right?
No, that is not correct. So we took all studies. Now, another important thing that we did here, so a basic meta analysis just does a pooled result and they report on what all the studies show. We actually did what's called a meta regression, which is a sophisticated analysis. And by the way, I should also mention, so it was myself, Alan Aragon, and another colleague, James Krieger, who's really a statistical whiz and designed the statistical measures here. And we conducted this meta regression where after getting the basic analysis, so what we came to an effect, which we'll talk about, we put it on an effect size, we then did what's called a regression where we took out certain variables. So we looked at all these things individually, such as training experience, such as the amount of protein consumed and other factors, as what are called covariates, to see if they actually could explain the results that we had. And that's where, ultimately, as we'll talk about, we got these really interesting results.
Well, and
but by the way, just to, yes. I should mention that there was actually only a few studies, and that was one of the problems with the research, is only a few studies have actually used well-trained subjects.
And by the way, James Krieger was on this show many years ago when he published a meta-analysis examining the ideal rep range to get the most out of your muscle training. But anyway, so what did you find?
Okay, well, so interestingly, the initial meta-analysis showed that there was a small to moderate effect of protein timing, that if you take protein within an hour of your workout, either pre and or post, it has a small but significant effect on increasing muscle. Now, not strength. Strength had no effect, but on muscle growth was a small but significant effect. Now, that was the, like I said, the basic analysis. When we did the regression, this is the real interesting thing, what we found was virtually the entire effect was explained by total protein intake. And here's the rub. When the majority of these studies are carried out, they had an experimental group which was taking the protein at the time of the workout, in and around the workout, and they had most of the time the controls were given a placebo, usually just carbohydrate or some other type of drink that did not contain protein, and they would just be left to have their protein whenever in their other meals.
Right.
So the rub there is that when we looked at it, the protein timing groups were consuming on average close to 1.7 grams per kilogram of protein per pound per kilogram of body weight, whereas the control groups were only consuming around 1.3, and if you look at the literature, it's pretty clear that generally at least 1.6 and above is considered what is needed
right,
to maximize protein synthesis during heavy-duty resistance training. And what we found was is that the explanation for the results wasn't the timing, but it was the fact that the participants in protein timer were getting more protein in their diet.
Yeah, and that's really where the magic is, obviously. You know, there's a lot of discussion whether it's the leucine, but the amount of protein plays a... Now, and that would speak to why there wasn't much of a difference between the pre and post nutrient timing, right? I mean, it was pretty much the same whether they had protein before, within 1 hour before or 1 hour after, right?
Well, most of the studies actually that were doing it, that we looked at did before and after. So it wasn't just before or after. Most of them,
okay.
There was a couple that just did after. I don't think any had done just before, to the best of my recollection. There was, there's been some studies acutely where they look at protein synthesis over the course of 24 hours that do it on an acute basis, look at before versus after. But every one of these studies either did before and after or just after. It wasn't one or the other for the most part.
Okay. And so the bottom line, in your humble opinion, from this research, is not so much the timing of the protein, but the size of the dose of protein.
Okay, so that is, yes. Now that's the primary findings. Now we did then look at, there were, I think, four studies we found that actually did was called matching. So they actually gave a matched protein dosages.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't find any effect in those studies. So we did a sub, it was called a sub-analysis through regression. And we actually even had to throw out one of the studies that showed no effect, of the timing because, which meant it would have been even less, there would have been even less of an effect because we couldn't get data from the authors. They didn't publish. Sometimes these studies, unfortunately, don't show what they need to show.
Right.
But bottom line, so that is, yeah, so the bottom line, our conclusion here is that the majority seems to be explained by just the fact that they're getting more protein. What I will say is the limitations are there hasn't been enough studies, that we had limited statistical power in the studies that did match protein, and also, as I mentioned earlier, there's only been a few studies that have actually looked at training in trained subjects, the protein timing, and that's a big issue that can I conclusively say that for people who are hard training bodybuilders that there isn't going to be an effect? No. And that's why we need more studies, and I will tell you that I have that is on my docket, and I'm currently working on methodology and should have that underway sometime next year to look specifically at that in a more elaborate study that hasn't been done before.
Did any of the studies that you looked at point out to the actual or potential mechanism? Okay, so we know that the size of the protein dose is there. It's always been thought that it was the magic of leucine and its ability to affect mTOR that seems to stimulate protein synthesis. Did that play out to be true as well, or was that even looked at?
Well, it wasn't looked at in these chronic studies. Those were looked at more in acute type studies. The chronic studies are mostly looking at the outcome measures of strength and hypertrophy. So they're not looking at the molecular mechanisms that are going on. There is some good evidence. So here's the basis. Look, and one of the reasons that I was so thought so highly of the nutrient timing was the logic of it, that we know that training sensitizes muscles to anabolism.
Right.
And as you mentioned, it's leucine as well as arginine also are thought to be the two amino acids that have major effects, although all the amino acids are anabolic. Well, all the essential amino acids have anabolism. If you're missing an essential amino acid, you're not going to optimize your muscle quality.
Right.
But yeah, as far as this intracellular signaling, it is the leucine primarily and also arginine, which are thought to be the two most anabolic as far as the signaling goes. And that's been shown pretty clearly. Now, what this does at least give... it makes you think, it gives rise to the hypothesis that the anabolic, the sensitivity to anabolism is lengthened way beyond what we thought, that it's not just this immediate, hey, you know, if
1 hour
you don't get
window.
Your,
yeah.
Correct. If you don't get your protein in, if you don't slam a shake the minute that you're finished training, that all of a sudden you're going to lose some of your gains. Now let's also talk, I think it's also important, because people do lose perspective. Number one, this does not mean that there is no benefit to nutrient timing. And I know you wanted to talk, and we will, about things like intermittent fasting, but
yes, yeah.
What it does say is that it's just the timing window isn't as narrow as we thought
right,
it was.
Right.
So would I say that, hey, that means you can just wait for 8 hours after your workout and you get the same results? No. And as a matter of fact, I would speculate that it's probably somewhat narrow in terms, Alan and I actually did this review that I mentioned earlier, that we kind of hypothesized that there's about a 4 to 6 hour window in and around a workout, and that would depend upon when you had your pre-workout meal. So assuming that you were fasted, then you would have a very narrow, probably have a very narrow window, or a narrower.
And that makes very, very good sense. I don't know if you're familiar with the show I did with Dr. Malin Watvi of Dove Diplomats and Diabetes. It is a Darwinian perspective on the manifestation of the disease diabetes. But one of the interesting things that came out of it was that by fasting, peptides in the brain are elevated that overcome fear, because you have to be prepared to, you know, risk something in order to go out and get food, let's say, not in modern times. Obviously, walking to the fridge isn't that threatening, but there was a period in our evolutionary process that going out and getting food put us at some sense of risk. And then the utilization of energy and getting that food prepares the body to eat that food and sets the body up in such a way that there's a very unique partitioning that takes place. And it's away from the diabetic model. And so I started talking about this on the show. I started experimenting with fasted training and then a huge meal post-workout. I mean, I'm talking about 2,500, 3,000 calorie meal. And this plays to what you're saying. So if you are training fasted, it is more important and more critical that you exercise that window, so to speak, or take advantage of that post-workout window quickly. Because that is the way the body would have been designed. Had you just expended a bunch of energy capturing an animal, you're not going to go, okay, let's save it for later. I don't feel like eating now. You obviously were very hungry in order to even endeavor getting that food or gathering that food. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, that's, again, a lot of this is hypothetical based upon an extrapolation, because we don't have chronic long-term timing studies that have looked at this and measured muscle development. But that is just based on some of the acute data. That is how it seems, that the longer you go pre-workout without eating from a resistance training bout, the more important it is to get your protein in pretty much immediately or close to that after the workout. And vice versa, if you have, let's say, a big meal or a semi-big meal an hour or so before a workout, you probably have 3-4 hours post-workout where you're still going to have a lot of sensitivity,
right.
And then probably your sensitivity will decline somewhat afterwards. And here's another important point. It doesn't mean that I'm not saying also that there's any harm in getting it sooner. Should you? My advice is, yeah, if you can, get it in quickly, because it's not going to hurt. And another important point here is that some of the measurement yardsticks that we use, things like MRI and ultrasound and DEXA, which evaluate the amount of muscle that people gain, have limitations. They're not the sensitivity. While it's very much better than some of the ones years ago were, they're still they're not exactly accurate, and they
right.
have some limitations. And could it be that for a hard training bodybuilder that there might be small effects that we're missing? Possibly. I certainly wouldn't discount that, and I would say the more for the average person, it's not going to be any big deal regardless, and you don't have to be anal about bringing your shake to the gym with you. But for the hard training bodybuilder, it still probably makes sense to slug that shake quickly after a workout.
I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to start to address strength gains for a second. I think this is this is no surprise to me, quite frankly, but I want to see if it was a surprise to you. We're talking right now with Brad Schoenfeld If you'd like to learn more about Brad, you can go to his website, which is aptly named lookgreatnaked.com. And he's got lots of great information up there. We're talking about protein timing and its effect on muscle growth. And now when we come back, we'll talk about strength. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection? Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a bottle of the Man Facial Moisturizer for Men from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld about nutrient time, actually protein timing. I'm sorry. I keep saying nutrient timing. Later in the show, Tom Venuto will be on to talk about his book, Teaching People How to Build Muscle While Burning Fat. Brad, was it any surprise to you that none of this had much of an effect on strength?
Yeah, it was. Given that there is a direct correlation between muscle cross-sectional area and strength, you would certainly hypothesize that it would have. Now, that could have been, obviously, strength has neuroadaptation, significant component is predicated on neural adaptations, which you might surmise, but I wouldn't, it's hard to reconcile why there would have been at least somewhat a slightly greater muscle increase, and that didn't translate into at least a slightly greater strength. So it was an interesting finding, and it was kind of hard to reconcile.
I just think it would have taken more time for the neuromuscular adaptations to occur. You know, I just think that while these muscle fibers are getting larger, and cross-section and geometry play a role in contractile force, I think that it takes longer for the body to utilize this new resource, so to speak. And so I wasn't that surprised about that portion of it.
That very well may be true, and that really I think what speaks to that is the fact that most of the studies were on untrained subjects, and it just might be that they, as you kind of mentioned, were not able to harness the increased cross-sectional area, although there is some evidence in untrained subjects that they are, but that is still equivocal.
What one of the things that untrained subjects don't have, that well-trained subjects do have, in my humble opinion, which was something that was discussed by Dr. Dennis O'Connor when we talked about grunting, and that is that I suppose during that interview that it wasn't just grunting that offered some additional strength to trained athletes, this was, but the fact that the level of disinhibition it takes to grunt also provides a level of disinhibition that is required to produce force. And what I mean by that is people who are uncomfortable grunting are probably uncomfortable with displays of strength, their own displays of strength. So they really don't know how far they can push the neuromuscular mechanics of their body. But well-trained athletes who do this regularly, they have a greater level of disinhibition. They're proud. I know this sounds bizarre, what I'm saying. People say, oh, come on, Carl. No, you have to be comfortable displaying strength in order to truly fire up all of your muscles. Otherwise, there's some disinhibition that acts as a governing mechanism. And grunting, I think, is extrinsic to this analysis. It's the intrinsic value is that if you're comfortable grunting, you're also comfortable heaving weight and not worrying what people are thinking about you. I know this is totally abstract to what we're talking about, but it speaks to why I think that untrained individuals are not a good representation of the potential effects of, let's say, protein timing on strength acquisition.
Well, first of all, to address your previous comment, I would agree completely. And now you're getting into motor learning, the basics of motor learning, and it's real interesting. I think that probably the disinhibition is part of it, and I think it's also a level of arousal. When you start grunting and even screaming, as some people do,
right.
you basically get a level of an increased level of arousal. And when you're dealing with a gross motor task like lifting a weight, especially in a multi-joint fashion, that you want a very high level of arousal. And certainly we know that not only does internal aspects such as grunting and focus do that, but also when other people around you are screaming, it motivates you and
right.
increases your arousal. So the arousal is a really important thing with strength, and completely agree. And I would agree as far as the untrained subjects, that is an issue here, and like I said, I am currently working on a study that will help to fill in some of these gaps, and we need to understand the limitations of research. So a lot of people jump on studies, and they're abstract scientists, if you will, meaning they read the abstracts and then form their opinion without understanding all the ramifications and the limitations of a study, and this is really important. If we want to take a scientific approach, we shouldn't just take one study, basically begets another study, to fill in all the gaps, and you need to have a better understanding of the complete picture, and there certainly are still gaps here that need to be filled in before we can make more definitive conclusions.
So you know, one of the things that I'm fond of is prescriptions. You know, when we talked about the congestion in muscles, some of the research that you and Brett Contreras have done for, you know, the optimal way to train to get the most out of your workout. I asked for prescriptions then, and we came up with the idea that, you know, lift heavy early on, do stuff that also causes the pump to occur because we have metabolic debris building up, and this seems to be the 1-2 punch for the greatest amount of growth. What about this study? What do we take away from this study that we can say unabashedly now, okay, we may not be able to put everything to rest, but what we can put to rest is this. This is what you need to do with your protein in order to experience the greatest amount of growth. And maybe we have to break it up into untrained and trained individuals.
Yeah, and I think even more so, we also have to break it up into what your ultimate goals are. So for the general fitness population who are just looking to get a good body and want to get, they're happy doing 95% of their gains, 98% of their gains, you don't have to bring a protein shake with you. I'm pretty comfortable in saying that for the majority of people, it's not going to make a big difference, if any. It might make none, but it might, I'm still not sure that it might not make a little difference, but that wouldn't matter to to a lot of people, where they're just happy if they get 95% of their gains and they don't. Basically, it makes them not have to be anal. If you are a bodybuilder or someone who, or a strength athlete or just someone who really is looking to maximize every amount of muscle, I would recommend, that you still take in your protein quickly after a workout because, there are limitations, as I mentioned, and specifically with the hard training individuals that need more study, and that could be, could you get that extra 2% out of it? Possibly. It's not gonna, there's no, ergolytic effect, meaning it's not gonna hurt you, and not gonna have any detrimental effects as anything we can tell, and it very well might help, or possibly could help to a small extent. And I also would say that it begets, if you are on an intermittent fasting type protocol, you're training fasting in the morning, first thing in the morning without eating, you would definitely be wise to get in your protein quickly post-training, whereas if you ate a meal relatively soon before training, it gives you certainly a good deal more leeway post-workout.
You know, the only thing that I just thought of that kind of throws a little interesting snag into this, so we know that ketosis causes a keeps you from using muscle glycogen. It protects stores of muscle glycogen. I wonder what ketosis does to protein synthesis. It just dawned on me because now we have these keto salts, right? So I can go to the gym even if I'm well fed and only 16 hours fasted, and let's say my body hasn't even kicked into a ketogenic state yet, and throw down three caps of keto salt, and boom, three millimoles of ketones in my bloodstream in 10 minutes. And we know that that actually has the ability to protect muscle glycogen stores. I wonder what something like that would do to the protein synthetic response of the workout, especially if you throw back a protein shake right after that.
You know, that's certainly the whole ketogenic diet and resistance training is something that needs more exploration based on, and I have looked at the literature, based on the literature I've seen, a ketogenic diet is suboptimal if your goal is maximal hypertrophy. Certainly it can be used in a fat loss capacity, and I'm not saying it's necessarily optimal, but for some people, certainly it's a viable way to go. I think, again, this is a topic where people tend to get very cultish, if you will, and you have your two camps, and one camp is going to say, ketogenic diet's the worst thing in the world, and other people are saying, ketogenic diet's the basically life solution to eating, and I think, not only do I think, I know that the answer is somewhere in between, as most things are, it depends. So could it be used in a fat loss capacity? Yes. Can it be very effective in that manner? Yes. Is it a good diet for optimizing a hypertrophic response? No, certainly based on the evidence I've seen.
And you know something? Dr. Dominic D'Agostino, who is, you know, all about the ketogenic diet and cancer and epilepsy and all that sort of stuff on my show, once said that if you're trying to bulk, you know, trying to stay in a state of ketosis is not a good idea. It'll preserve muscle, but you're going to have a hard time growing muscle with regularity. So there you go. And here's a guy who's in the camp of you know, all things ketosis, and he agrees with you. Here's what I want to do. I want to take our last commercial break, and we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld. His website is lookgreatnaked.com. Who doesn't want to look great naked? You look marvelous. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today. Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to superhumanradio.com and click the Bio banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Right process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. Whey Natural USA.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brad Schoenfeld about protein timing. Showtime. Brad, where does this fit into protein frequency? Is there a continuum here that we can now take this research? Because I know that we talked about this earlier, that Lane Norton's group in Illinois had done some research, but they were on, it was on rats, on protein frequency. Is there a way for us to take this information and say, okay, now let's expand it over the continuum, and once you have that post-workout proper-sized protein meal, then every so often you should continue that?
Unfortunately, no, really, that cannot be extrapolated from this study. And one interesting thing that I can tell you is that there really have not been any long-term studies that have looked at protein frequency with respect to muscle development, retention, or anything to do with that. There have been a bunch of acute studies that have been done where they've looked at protein synthesis. Lane carried out some studies, some good studies, in rodents. Stu Phillips and his lab at McMaster's have looked at that more recently on an acute basis, and we're trying to look at protein frequency as far as how when you get your optimal synthesis, but there's limitations to what can be extrapolated. Number one, with an acute study, it doesn't mean that this will carry out over time, that what happens, your body can adapt to certain things and not respond the same way. So it's been shown that acute studies do not necessarily, acute protein synthesis studies do not necessarily extrapolate over time to a hypertrophic response. So that is something that can and should be studied. It's a little bit tricky to do, to get people to adhere to those type of protocols, but whether you should have one big protein meal or two big protein meals or five little ones, definitely is an important area that should be explored to a greater degree.
I got to tell you, when I was employing this, now I must admit, you know, and I've been very open about this on the show in the past, so it's not like I'm breaking any rules by telling people this because they've heard it before. But when I was doing this experiment where I was training fasted, generally 16 hours fasted minimum, training, you know, very, very heavy, and then having this huge meal right afterwards, I was using peptides. I was using a cocktail made of IGF-1, MGF, GHRP-2, as well as a couple IUs of growth hormone, which I have a prescription for, two IUs a day. And instead of taking two IUs a day, I just saved it up for some of my workouts. And I had developed ravenous hunger because blood sugar dropped from the IGF-1. The GHRP obviously stimulates, it's ghrelin-like, so it stimulates hunger. And after consuming this sometimes up to 3,000-calorie meal post-workout, without any complications, I mean, I was still hungry after that. I could have eaten more. I then only ate one other meal. Generally, my post-workout meal was right before the show, so around 11 o'clock. And then I generally went home and had really only had a complete sense of satiety through the day until around 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I usually had another meal then and probably was pretty close to 1,500 to 2,000 calories. So I was just eating twice a day. And I got to tell you, I put on such a great deal of muscle. It wasn't body fat. I mean, I outgrew a bunch of jackets. I had to get new suit jackets. And that muscle has stayed with me. So it's, you know, this whole, I sometimes wonder, you know, I hold everything up in the light of evolutionary perspectives now, because we can't ignore this any longer. And I look at, you know, how we eat and this notion, well, you've got to eat every 3 hours and you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And I'm wondering sometimes if really that is what you quote unquote have to do in order to produce greater muscle size. And it's, and I think a lot of things are changing now.
Well, one thing that is very clear is the human body is extremely adaptive. And to think that, number one, to think that there's one way to do something is really misguided, just based upon how complex the physiology of humans are and how we can adapt to different environments. And number two, to even think that there's one way between people, there's just inter-individual differences, as we know, make a big difference in what people need and their hormonal levels, rest levels. There's so many factors that enter into the process. It really is such a complex cascade that really we need to, number one, understand that there's not going to be one prescription in general, and number two, that we need to understand you need to take your own, you need to take general guidelines into account and then apply them to yourself as an individual or someone you're working with, if you're a trainer, as an individual, to optimize their results, that it's not a one-size-fits-all. Everyone wants that one cookie cutter, do this and you'll get this, and really that's the fairy dust that people want. That's the we're chasing rainbows when we're looking to do that.
And the other thing is that people shift from one thing to another so frequently that they don't really do any one thing long enough to see any results.
Absolutely. People are constantly, it's the fad, this is a 21st century approach. It's jumping from one fad to another. They hear something, they change, and really they don't get to know their body well enough to understand what's working and what isn't. And again, if you're going to do something, N equals one can be effective on that one individual if you do it in a systematic fashion. You need to only change one variable, and you need to assess it for a given period of time and do it objectively. And ultimately, if you're a trainer, that's when you're working with someone, that's what you want to do. So if you're going to, let's say, think that, well, I'm going to reduce rest intervals to see how that's going to affect this person, well, you don't then start changing other variables as well, because then you don't know whether it was the rest intervals that affected it.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for consistency, and that's a hard thing for most people to do anyway. In summary, what do you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from your research, this most recent paper?
Yeah, I number one, that you just, for the vast majority of people, you don't need to be anal about protein timing, that it's something that might have slight benefits for someone who is really a competitive lifter or someone who's looking to optimize that last couple of pounds of muscle. It might not. We don't know. But for the vast majority of people, it certainly is not something that you need to get overly concerned about, that the primary factors are getting good nutrition. And number two, along with that, is making sure you get adequate protein. This study really reinforces the importance of getting enough protein in, and that even small, fairly, what you consider a fairly small amount below what is needed can
right.
have somewhat significant effects, because the people in, remember, the people in the control groups were taking in about 1.3 grams, which is still well above the RDA.
Right.
The RDA is 0.8 grams per kilogram, so these people were taking in 1.3, and if they weren't getting to that kind of critical level of 1.6, at least that's what you can interpret from this, whereas the experimental group was, and they saw small but significant differences that would be meaningful, that I would think would be meaningful. So it's very important that you get adequate protein in your daily, on a daily basis, and that you train hard. Those are the two things. You got to train hard and you got to eat right, and the other stuff is pretty much minutia from a timing perspective.
And as far as the adequate amount of protein, it really comes down to the adequate amount of protein per meal. You even if you're eating throughout the day and let's say consuming what is equivalent to 1.7 grams of protein per pound of body weight, the magic seems to be in that bolus that's hitting your bloodstream at one time. Or am I wrong about that?
Well, that's something we don't know. So there's been, again, recently the Phillips group at McMaster's looked at this, and they found that there's certainly some evidence that 20 grams of high-quality protein maximizes, gives you what's called a protein full response, and maximizes your anabolic response, and anything above that starts to get oxidated. But there's a lot of limitations that we just don't have time, maybe another time we could discuss, to get into some of the limitations of this. But if nothing else, they used the 80-gram protein dose over the course of the study, which for most people is well below, as we were just talking about now, it's well below what their anabolic threshold is. Really, and there's other studies that contradict that, where they gave it as one larger protein bolus. You just talked about an intermittent fasting approach, which would speak towards that. And we just don't know. So as far as the ideal amount of protein, I would say that probably it's best to not go more than 4 to 6, from an anabolic response, it seems 4 to 6 hours without getting in protein might start to have a negative effect, and that's kind of in line with what Lane's research showed. But
right.
am I confident of that? I think we still need a lot more research before I would go out on a limb there.
Yeah, and I agree. And then coming back to the evolutionary perspective, I don't think that we knew how much protein we were eating when we sat down after you know, being fasted for 24 hours, catching an animal. We didn't go, you know, I think I'll eat a small amount now, come back in 3 hours. No, we ate until our stomach was engorged, and somehow that worked for us. So,
well, that's true. I do want to point out, though, from the evolutionary perspective, that doesn't mean that that will optimize.
Yes.
So will you be able to survive well with that? Yes. That does not necessarily mean it's optimal from, let's say, a bodybuilder perhaps optimize his physique. We can't necessarily extrapolate that, because our evolutionary perspective was not to be posing in tights on a stage.
Well, on top of that, muscle could have been a detriment to us, because it meant we needed
Correct.
More fuel, and in times of of lack of abundance, carrying more muscle made you probably the first one to die. So,
yep.
Anyway, great discussion. The website is lookgreatnaked.com. Brad, as always, thanks for being on the show today.
Always my pleasure. Hope to do it again soon, Carl.
We will. Thank you. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be joined by Tom Venuto as we talk about his book, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. We'll be right back.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram.
Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a free bottle of beautiful facial moisturizer for women from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today. If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy per Coba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
It was a moonlit night in Old Mexico.
Welcome back.
I walked alone between some old...
You know, everybody, I don't care who you are, doesn't want to have to split things up, right? They have body fat to lose, they have muscle they want to build, and they want to do it simultaneously. But is it possible? Well, my next guest may just have the answers for you. He is a well-known author. You have probably heard about him if you read the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Men's Fitness, Muscle and Fitness. You listen to ESPN. He's Tom Venuto. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So this really is the holy grail of the fitness slash body recomposition experience. No one wants to say, oh, I'm going to focus on losing body fat right now for the next X amount of period of time, a year, 8 months, and then I'll focus on building muscle. They want to do it at the same time, don't they?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, that it's the holy grail. If you could do it both together, why wouldn't you?
And there's a lot of people out there who say you can't. You got to pick your fight. You got to either choose whether you want to lose body fat. I was told this when I was first looking to change my body. I was 330 pounds, and I had a personal trainer say, well, you've got to focus on losing fat first before you can start focusing on building muscle. You can't do both of them simultaneously. What would you say to that statement, Tom?
Well, that trainer might have been right in that particular situation, because it really depends a whole lot on a person's starting condition and their starting weight. If somebody's really, really heavy, the body fat percentage is really high, I mean, that's at a point where you even have to worry about there being health problems because of that excess body fat. So there are times when you really should prioritize, and if you have really high body fat, I would recommend prioritizing the reduction of the body fat, focus on that first, but in the same breath, I would tell that person to start weight training right off the bat. So don't just diet, do the complete program, do the weight training so you're at least maintaining the muscle, and you may even gain a little while you're cutting fat.
So how long has the book been out now?
Well, actually, that's an interesting story, because this book is 10 years old. The original version came out as an ebook. I self-published it myself. It came out in 2003. And then we just released a brand new hardcover version that's been completely updated.
And that's available for those of you who want to pick up a copy at burnthefatfeedthemuscle.com, just so you know. What is different now? What has changed from when the book first came out to now?
In a couple words, I'd say accessibility and flexibility. I think flexible nutrition and flexible training and a flexible lifestyle, I mean, that's really, I think, the wave of the future here, as opposed to programs that were really very, very rigid and gave extremely strict guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather give people, let's call it a template, and then they can kind of plug and play. For example, with the foods, you can give somebody a template for a meal plan, and instead of dictating exactly what they want to eat, give them some food lists. Let them pick the foods that they like. All you have to really do is hit some goals. You have to hit a certain calorie goal, and you have some macronutrient goals for the protein, carbs, and fat. But then it's up to the individual to design their own program, and that's really what I teach people how to do.
Is this a result that people are not willing to give up very much? The average American doesn't understand deferred gratification, so you have to be very, very flexible in order to even get them to enlist a program that ultimately will serve them well and save their lives in many cases.
Yeah, that's very true. I think it's a really good motivation for people to know that things like their favorite foods aren't removed, or on the training side of things, they're able to pick their own favorite type of cardio. You know, maybe somebody just absolutely hates getting on a treadmill. If they realize, well, you don't have to, there's a lot of other options. If you build that kind of flexibility into a program, I think we're going to increase participation, get some people off the couch, and I don't think it's necessarily a compromise in results if you do it right.
There's lots of books out there that claim to help people change their bodies. What's different about your book?
Well, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle is different because it's not just a diet. Most books, especially if they're slanted towards weight loss, they tell you to do one thing. If your goal is weight loss, they say just diet. And I think that's a very incomplete strategy. And depending on how you do it, if you just do diet alone, there could be some negative effects like decreased lean body mass, and you really don't reshape your body. The diet alone can't increase your strength, can't increase your fitness. You need training for that. So this really isn't a diet book. It's a nutrition program combined with three other elements. So you've got nutrition, number one. Number two, you've got the resistance training, where we borrow some of the ideas from bodybuilders and physique athletes, cardio training, and mental training too, which is the psychology and the motivation side of it, and that's what actually helps you stick with the nutrition and the training.
Are you afraid to use the word bodybuilding? What I've found over the past 9 years of doing this show is that as soon as you say the word bodybuilding, the average American backs out. And they don't understand. I mean, I have an opinion on this, but do you have to be careful? Like, even, I mean, guys like Tony Horton, who completely rip off precepts that were created in bodybuilding, stay very, very cautiously at arm's length from the word bodybuilding.
That is such a great question, and that's something we gave a lot of thought to, because, you know, like I said, this program has been out for 10 years. It's one of the most proven programs in the fitness world, and I wasn't even the first person teaching this method. I borrowed it from the bodybuilding and fitness model world, and I called it a bodybuilding inspired program before. So if we want to enroll and enlist people who aren't even training right now, I do think we might have to soften a little bit. I don't mind saying body sculpting. If that, you know, I'm a bodybuilder, I'm proud of it. I would love to get more people involved in the bodybuilding lifestyle, but mainly what I want people to do, the people who aren't doing it yet, I want them to pick up the weights. So we're not necessarily selling being a bodybuilder or even getting ripped, but we want to get more people involved in strength training, resistance training, because that's going to make all the difference for those people that are just dieting.
You know, it's funny. I did a show probably 7 years ago with Anthony Roberts. You know Anthony?
Sure do.
Okay. And it was a very esoteric, very philosophical show. And, you know, Anthony is a philosopher, for a lot of people who don't know that. I mean, he studied philosophy. And so we examined the words bodybuilding as one word, and then the two words bodybuilding. And we talked about how as soon as you bridge these two words and make it one, it takes on a connotation that has so many undertones that people back away from it. And I remember the show very well, and I remember we talked about if you talked about home building, right, people would, oh, yeah, you know, building a home or even home repair, home remodeling. But as soon as you talk about remodeling your body or building your body, it gets swept away by this meathead slash, you know, attitude, and the average American shuts out. And I used to say, and I still say this today, especially to the women who listen to the show, don't tune out of the shows we do about bodybuilding, because a bodybuilder does this professionally. They understand how to manipulate their body and make it look different, how to get rid of fat, how to build muscle in specific areas or the entire body. They are professionals at body recomposition. So who would you want to take piano lessons from? Someone who plays moderately better than you, or someone who makes a living at playing the piano? And that's it's a rhetorical question. So who would you want to take advice from about diet and exercise from? Somebody who looks moderately better than you, or somebody who makes a living getting up on a stage with nothing, almost nothing on, and says, look at my body and critique it?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, and it's really important to emphasize that the competitive side of bodybuilding is just such a tiny sliver.
Right.
I've always been amazed at, being that I have a bodybuilding background, I was a competitive bodybuilder for 15 years. I did 28 competitions before I retired from the competition side. I was amazed that so many people got enrolled in our program, even though I was a bodybuilder. 90% of the people who do our Burn the Fat program and belong to our websites and communities, they're not bodybuilders. All they want to do is they want to get leaner, and they want to get more muscular, and they want to shape and sculpt their body. And that's really what everybody wants. It's just a matter of how you phrase your goals. So I think this is what everybody wants, and I think it's what everybody needs, too, to get healthy.
And we, you know what? And you, people look at movie stars. Oh, I want to look like Jennifer Hudson. I want to look like, who's the other girl? Jennifer Lawrence. I want to look like, this movie star. Guess what? Those movie stars are lifting weights. They're training like bodybuilders. They're not doing Zumba classes all day long and Pilates classes. I can't remember this guy's name, and is one of Elise's favorite actors, the guy who plays Wolverine. But in order to do the part in Les Mis, he learned how to deadlift 550 pounds. Like is that a Zumba class? No. So if you want to look really good, if you want to look like a movie star, you got to start training like a bodybuilder. The movie stars know that. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. The website is burnthefatfeedthemuscle.com for Tom Venuto's latest book on the subject. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
This is one of those things, I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight, because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a free bottle of beautiful facial moisturizer for women from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today.
From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a bottle of the Man Facial Moisturizer for Men from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train faster or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just a reminder, Age Force, every single one of their patches, including the Marvelous Fat Burner Patch, 50% off as stocking stuffers. Go to superhumanradio.com and click one of the Age Force banner ads today to learn about all their amazing patch, supplement patch delivery systems. We're talking with Tom Venuto about his book, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, which the website is of the same name, burnthefatfeedthemuscle.com. What about people who don't want to go to the gym? Can they use your book, Tom?
Absolutely. I'd say 50% of the people I've worked with over the years are training at home. The important thing is to just train. And, you know, you can do a lot with just your body weight. If you take the effort to learn a few body weight exercises and you get some really basic weights, dumbbells are the most versatile piece of equipment, and it's never going to go bad, then you're all set to train at home.
Yeah, and as far as dumbbells go, I'm a huge proponent, and they will be coming aboard in December, by the way. They've sponsored this show for a very, very long time, and that is Power Block. If you want a great set of, and I'm pimping a product here, but I believe in them. I've got two sets of Power Blocks. Quick change dumbbells. Are you familiar with them at all, Tom?
Oh, yeah. I've owned a pair myself, and it's a real space saver, too.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They really, really are. How about women? Is the message different for women than it is for men?
Well, I wish it was exactly the same. I wish we could speak to women and more easily get them involved with weight training because they're more reluctant than the men. So, I mean, that's one difference. But we are seeing some encouraging trends. We're seeing more and more women getting in the gym and lifting. They're squatting. They're deadlifting. They're pressing. And that's what I want to see more of because women need it as much as men, if not more. And women, as they get older, they need to start thinking about the increased risk of osteoporosis and decreased bone density. There's nothing better for bone density than weight training. So this is for women that are getting older, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So how much is the book?
Oh, the book is, well, the cover price is $27, but Amazon.com has it at $16.
Wow, that's really, really inexpensive. What will people find in here that's really unique from a nutritional standpoint, aside from the flexibility? Are you a proponent of things like ancestral eating, or do you let people eat grains, off base for you?
Oh, no, there's really nothing banned. But the goal here is not to ban an entire food group, but to find what suits your body and your health conditions. I mean, there are people who don't get along with grains well. And I would never say, hey, you have to eat grains because that's part of my program. There's a lot of people who are lactose intolerant. I'm not going to tell them to eat dairy products. It's another part of being flexible. But on the other hand, I don't want to ban those foods. Even if, say, you mentioned an ancestral, for example, is really effective for some people. There's people who, they love their Greek yogurt, and if they jump on a program and say dairy is banned and they're not allowed to, I mean, that's a real bummer for them, and it's really tough for them to stick with it. I think we need to think about not just what's effective in the short term, but what can a person stick with as a lifestyle? And that would be my philosophy on grains. Like, for example, I don't eat a lot of processed bread. I'm not a huge processed carbohydrate guy, but oatmeal, for example, you know, old-fashioned oats, I mean, that's a staple food in the bodybuilding world, and it works for me, and that agrees with my stomach. So those kinds of foods are all, they're all fair game on this program, but there is a customization process that has to take place.
Do you teach people how to measure body fat with the book? Because that's obviously one of the ways that people can track their progress.
That's huge. I'm a huge proponent of understanding the difference between weight loss and fat loss. Everybody is so hung up on the scale, and the scale won't tell you body composition, but a body fat test, which you could do right in your own home with a little skinfold caliper, that'll tell you body fat percentage, and then once you know that number, you calculate lean body mass and fat mass, and then you can focus on that. My philosophy is measure everything that you want to improve. So if you want to decrease your body fat, measure your body fat. If you want to increase your lean body mass, measure your lean body mass, and the body fat test is how you do it.
Calorie a calorie to you, or do you believe that what the calories are made of make as much of an importance as how many calories you're getting every day?
Well, from what perspective, calorie is definitely not a calorie when you're looking at nutrient density. So if I'm in a caloric deficit, and on that side of the equation, calories do matter. If you want to lose body fat, you do need the caloric deficit. But if I'm in a caloric deficit, the source of the calories sure matter. I want to get the maximum amount of micronutrients from those calories as possible. In fact, the lower the calories are, the more I want to focus on nutrient density. So it depends what perspective you're coming through. But calories do count, but some people can lose fat without counting calories. That's not an oxymoron. It's just a matter of whether you count calories and you're in a deficit or whether you don't count calories and you're a deficit. The end result is the same. You lose fat.
Where does detoxification fit into this scenario within your book? Do you address it, or is it too much of an esoteric topic and not important to the end process?
Well, I mean, I think people should detoxify their kitchens of all the junk food and start there. I think it ties into what we just talked about, is eating nutrient-dense foods, natural nutrient-dense foods, and basically avoiding foods that are going to be toxic to our body in the first place. As opposed to taking a bunch of stuff that intends to remove toxins that are already in you. And I think if we have a conversation like that, I think we have to name the toxin and then figure out, is it in your body, number two, is it in your body in a dangerous amount, number three, and then number four, what's the solution to get rid of it? So there are some foods where there's some toxins that it's legit that you want to be careful of. You know, mercury has been on people's radar for the last decade.
Yeah.
And, I come from the bodybuilding background, so you have to forgive me for using bodybuilding analogies all the time, but the bodybuilders were huge on eating tuna out of the can. I mean, all day long, there was a famous tuna and water diet back in the days, and that'll get you ripped, but then we found out that certain kinds of tuna are loaded with mercury. So if you have some things like that on your radar, and you just stop taking so many of them in, I think that's kind of a preventative measure that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, and that's a great point. And by the way, I was one of those guys who did the tuna diet. I mean,
yeah.
And it did. I lost a lot of weight on it. But I think the magic there was you buy light tuna has a bit less mercury than, let's say, albacore or white
that's
tuna.
That's right.
But with that in mind, there are people out there who their sole goal is to change their body's appearance without giving consideration to their body's health. And so they will consume large amounts of things that are artificial without regard to its accumulation in their body. And the bodybuilding community is notorious for this, right? I don't care if this is poison. I mean, look, bodybuilders use DNP. It's poison. What do you think about that? Are you moderate about that sort of thing? Like, if that's what you're going to do, do it. Or are you outspoken like, look, you can change your body and be healthy as well. Why choose anything else?
Well, you know, I have a mission statement, and my mission statement isn't to get ripped and jacked at all costs. My mission statement is to help people get leaner, stronger, fitter, and healthier. Health should always be in the discussion. And this is a debate that just came up more than once in the last month that I've been talking about on shows. Is bodybuilding even healthy? And I believe that it number one, it's a lifestyle, and I believe that it can be, if it's approached the right way, the healthiest lifestyle in the world. And to me, what that means is I choose to do it drug-free, steroid-free, hormone-free, and that's what I promote. Now, if somebody's, you know, competing at the highest level of bodybuilding, whatever they do, you know, live and let live, that's their own business. But I want everybody to know that you can build a fantastic physique, really tremendous physique, all naturally, without drugs, if you take the right approach. And that's the healthy way. I think the problem is people can approach any endeavor in an unhealthy way. Extreme diets, abuse of drugs. So, I mean, and that's not just true of bodybuilding. It's true of anything if it's taken to an extreme.
Yeah, and you know, I've come to the conclusion that trying to be ripped, and I mean maintain a 2, 3, 4, 5%, even 5% body fat level for any length of time is the other end of the spectrum of being obese. I'm not convinced that it's healthy. It may look appealing, and you may want to spend some period of the summer months looking that way because you want to go on the beach, but I'm not convinced that that isn't any more of an aberrant health goal than just eating until you're 350 pounds. And everybody is just so, has so idealized, like getting ripped, get ripped. There's a guy here in Kentucky that's on a TV show this morning, you know, ripped at 60 years old. I'm all for getting ripped, but what do you think about this idea that you should spend your life ripped?
Well, you make a really good point. That word you used is people trying to maintain. And I think that's the real question is what's a healthy body fat to maintain all the time? For sure, if you're too lean, that can be unhealthy. And I think even more so for women, get the repercussions more so than men. But you also said, hey, guys may want to cut down for the summer and then, you know, let their body fat creep up again. I like that philosophy.
Right.
I like the philosophy of training for a peak. And again, this is why I think the bodybuilding lifestyle can apply to everybody, because even if the peak for you is not getting on stage and competing, the peak for you might be getting ready for summer, might be getting ready for vacation. And I don't believe that that's healthy. I think it's it builds you up as a person, because every time you have a really challenging goal and you go after that goal, it gets you really excited, and it's more than what you get out of it physically. It's the kind of person you become. You build these characteristics. You build more discipline. You build more confidence. It's like, hey, man, I'm a goal achiever because you set that goal and you went for it. But I don't think the goal should be to get ripped and stay ripped. And I don't think that many people try to do that unless they're models, because it's really hard to do.
Right.
It's really, you know, getting too lean is, I don't think it's a problem that many people need to worry about. But yeah, you're right. There's a corner of the fitness world that people obsessed with getting ripped, and I think we have to look at, you know, what's a healthy body fat to maintain.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when you look at athletes, you know, football players and so on, generally around 10 to 12% of body fat seems to be where the magic is, where they can perform well, not be carrying a lot of excess body baggage, so to speak, but also maintain a healthy immune system and functionality. And you may not be able to see, not everybody can see their abs at 10%. You may start to see, you may be able to tell they're there, but you may not be able to see your abs at 10%. And the problem I have is now that abs have become the benchmark for fitness, and I don't think they are.
I remember what my body fat used to be when I was competing, and I wouldn't mind letting my body fat go up to 9-10%, and that's where I was most of the time, and it was just lean enough to see my abs. So
there
people look at me and they're like, that guy's in shape, and I got my abs. But it was for the competitions that I dieted down and got shredded. So, you know, again, I think you have to figure out what's maintainable to you in terms of the work and what's a reasonable lifestyle. Because that's the level you're going to settle into, and you need to be happy with.
I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, you talked about it's not just the bodybuilding community that endeavors risky diet approaches. I want to talk about some of these scarier diet approaches when we come back. We're talking with Tom Venuto, and his book is Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, and it's available at the website burnthefatfeedthemuscle.com or at amazon.com. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return. And even then, you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 1-4936 wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long, because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Tom Venuto about his book Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. So you're right, it's not just the bodybuilding community that has become somewhat reckless in the attainment of a different type of a body look, for instance. We have diets out there now that are doctor prescribed. And I got to tell you, the HCG diet, in my humble opinion, is the most reckless diet that you can put anybody on. They lose 50% muscle and 50% body fat, which means that their resting metabolic rate drops. So if they lose 20 pounds in 20 days, which is what a lot of these doctors promote, they're losing 10 pounds of muscle. When they go back to eating even moderately close to what they ate before, they'll put on even more body fat. And it's and this whittling down of muscle, adding body fat, usually these people do this diet two or three times a year. And by the end of 2 years, they can't eat, they can't look at food without getting fat. What are your thoughts on some of these, what are your opinion of some of the more reckless diets out there today, Tom?
Oh, well, I agree with you completely about the HCG. I mean, that one's been on my radar. I've written about that on my Burn the Fat blog. And you're right, what a lot of people don't realize that you don't just go to a doctor and get an injection for what is really essentially it's a fertility drug that doesn't even have scientific evidence.
I was just going to say, there's no evidence that it does anything. It's actually possibly just the placebo that people think that it's making them
be able
to survive on 600 calories a day.
Yeah, and also I think the placebo effect is even stronger when people go to a doctor and get an injection.
Bingo. Yeah, yeah. So what do you think, what are the diets out there that you think are reckless nowadays?
Oh, wow. I mean, where do we begin? Anything that lowers calories to that level is reckless because, I mean, that's 500 calories or 600 calories. You can't even hit your basic macronutrient needs there, and it's pretty darn hard to hit your micronutrient needs. One of the things that, as the research has emerged over the last 10 years, is the importance of protein. You know, most people talk about protein in a discussion about gaining muscle, but a lot of the research is talking about the importance of protein when you're burning fat. And the lower your calories go, the more important that that protein is in order that you maintain your lean body mass. And if your calories get so low, you can't even get enough protein and amino acids to sustain.
Let me give you a hypothetical, okay? Our nation is so caught up in, you know, Meatless Mondays and Vegan Fridays, and now Jay-Z and Beyonce are doing the vegan 22-day challenge. Big mistake. Sure, they're going to feel different over 22 days, but it's not necessarily something good that they're feeling. Let me give you a hypothetical. Our body sets its benchmark for hunger based on protein intake. And what I mean by this is this. If person A eats a high-protein meal, that is 50 grams of protein and, you know, and pick the grams of the other macronutrients. And person B eats a vegan meal that is scant in protein, but high in carbohydrates and fat. And both of these meals are isocaloric. They both possess the same calorie of intake. I will tell you that person B will be hungry immediately after that meal, and here's why. Because the body is looking for a set amount of protein. It needs protein. So if you're eating a food source that is low in protein, your body is going to direct you to eat more of it because its objective is to get its protein requirement. If you're eating a food that is high in protein, your body will be more satisfied with it because it's achieving its protein requirement. And I don't know that there's any research out there, but when I look at studies that look at different, I mean, even going back to Keckwick and Pawan's research, it seems to me that the body has a target and it's driven by protein. And if you're eating low protein food, you're going to be consuming thousands of calories more because the body doesn't care how much of this other byproduct it has to get as long as it gets what it needs in protein. And most people don't get enough protein in the day. And that's why they eat the way they eat. Any thoughts on that statement, Tom?
Oh, there's no question about it that protein is most satiating of all those macronutrients, suppresses appetite, and there is research about it. And not only did they find out that protein is hunger-suppressing, they've continued the research and found out it's hormonal. So you take a hunger hormone like ghrelin, the protein will decrease hunger hormones, and possibly they're researching increase the satiety hormones too. So it works on a hormonal level as well.
So what is some of the feedback that you've gotten about the book so far? I mean, I know you've had the book out there for a long time. Can you give us some success stories that you know of?
Sure. Well, there's some right on the back cover of the book. Like I think of Brian who was almost 300 pounds in his body fat was 46%. At least he thinks so. It's kind of hard to measure it, but I mean, he had extremely high body fat. And so his first goal is to lose fat. But right from the beginning, he started out with the complete program. He did take up the weight training, and he did the right nutrition, and he did the cardio training, and he threw in the mental training part. And by that, I mean, you know, having goals and doing things to stay motivated. And he eventually got down to 10% body fat from literally obese down to 10% body fat, where he could see his abs. And the difference between what he did and people who just go on a crash diet is that he was doing the weight training, so when the fat came off, he had that muscular frame underneath. And, I mean, he was chiseled.
You know what's really funny? At my heaviest, I was about 330 pounds. And so Elisa and I were having a conversation the other day, and we were talking about my journey, you know, when I lost the most amount of fat. And I said, I wasn't focusing on losing body fat. I started to train like a power lifter. So every single week, I had incremental successes that had nothing to do with what my body looked like or what the scale and gravity represented my body as. And I focused on adding weight to the bar, adding reps to the weight, and those became my mission critical goals. And I didn't pay it. The problem is that most people can't stick to a regimen because all they look at is fat loss. And that is going to be something that, unless you have a strong sense of deferred gratification, it's going to be hard to hold on to, because most people have taken 10 years to add 100 pounds, but they want to lose it in 3 months, 2 months, because they saw a magazine article that says they can, or a supplement that said they can. And they lose all of their motivation around the first 3 or 4 weeks because they feel like, oh, the fat isn't coming off fast enough, this is hopeless, and they're done. But when you use resistance training as part of the prescription to change your body, and you focus on your gym goals of doing more work, you have incremental, achievable, weekly successes that carry you through, and you're not even looking at the fat loss anymore.
That is such a great point to have, not just outcome goals, but process goals, and to have one of those goals to be strength is important. I'm a believer in having both kind of goals. Have goals for, have a target body fat and body weight goal, but also have those performance goals as well. I think the combination gives you the best of both worlds and keeps you really motivated.
What got you into bodybuilding, Tom?
Arnold.
He had that effect on a lot of people, didn't he?
Yeah, I was 14, and I went to see Conan the Barbarian, and at that moment, I was just so amazed with the physique. The next day, I went to the bookstore, bought Arnold's autobiography, and I started doing the workouts right in the back of the book.
Wow, that's pretty cool. How old were you?
14. So I've been training now 30 years nonstop.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So, you know, obviously there's a longevity aspect to training. We're learning that. As a matter of fact, I have to dig into a study that Alex Leaf posted on Facebook, but I think it's a 35-year-long study on men. And it shows that, you know, aside from diet, lack of alcohol, lack of cigarette smoking, you know, arduous training and exercise is part of the protocol. How healthy are you, Tom?
I've been to a doctor for illness or injury in 23 years. I think that's pretty healthy.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good. That might be because you're Italian, too. But I don't know. All right, look, we're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up. We're talking with Tom Venuto. His book is Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, and it can be found at the website burnthefatfeedthemuscle.com or at amazon.com. We'll be right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a bottle of the Man Facial Moisturizer for Men from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Tom Venuto about his book and his opinions. The book is Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, and can be found at the website burnthefatfeedthemuscle.com. Tom, saturated fat has become all the rage now. We shouldn't be afraid of it. I haven't been afraid of it. I mean, I use coconut oil regularly. What's your opinion of saturated fat? Do we have to be careful not to go overboard now? People have a tendency to, when we shut something out and we re-embrace it, we go, oh, well, all we should do is eat saturated fat now. Where's your opinion?
Yeah, I've seen the same kind of trend in all kinds of different areas, nutrition and training. It's kind of like a swing of the pendulum one way or the other. And I think the ultimate answer is balance. I mean, I don't think we needed to be afraid of it to begin with. But I don't think we need to, you know, go chugging cups full of coconut oil or look at it as any kind of miracle food. Just everything in balance.
Do you remember, are your grandparents from Italy?
My grandfather is, in fact. Yeah.
Okay. I remember my grandmother had a jar on the back of the stove where she would, anytime she cooked something and it rendered grease, you would pour it into this jar and she would reuse it over and over again. Did you ever see anything like that in the house?
Not in my house.
Okay. You know, saturated fat was not the enemy until the 70s. And we've thrived having some amount of saturated fat in our diet. I'll tell you something else that's interesting. The term trans fats is improperly used. There are naturally occurring trans fats in dairy from grass-fed pastured cows. And these trans fats have been implicated in actually not causing inflammation and actually affecting lipolysis. So this notion of trans fats is also, unfortunately, getting thrown under the bus. What we really should be talking about when we talk about trans fats are artificially created saturated fats. Natural saturated fats, I mean, found in nature, they have never been dangerous to us. The saturated fats that are dangerous, like Crisco, are those that are saturated with hydrogen molecules. And these are where, and so, you know, once again, it comes down to the fine details. Trans fats are not necessarily bad. There are naturally occurring trans fats in nature that are not bad for you. What is bad for you is when man thinks it's smarter than nature and says, hey, we're going to take this here unsaturated fat, and we're going to saturate it so it stays hard in room temperature and we can cook with it instead of using lard or whatever. And they use chemical processes, chemistry processes to saturate it with hydrogen, which is what hydrogenated oils are. So, I've never been afraid of saturated fat, but I am afraid of just about everything that man makes. And that's my position on the whole fat subject.
Well, yeah, it's a commercial endeavor. They want some of those foods to last on the shelf forever. And that's what they do. They manipulate the fats to do that.
And you know how they manipulate the fats to do that, Tom? It's interesting, too. There's a good discussion. Everybody's in love with omega-3s, right? Well, omega-3s have a very, very short shelf life. During the hydrogenation process, they remove the omega-3s from these edible oils as part of the process to increase its shelf life. Think about that. So not only do they saturate the fat with something artificial, but then they remove the one good thing about the fat completely because it doesn't work well with manufacturing and shelf life.
That's right.
Isn't that a disgusting idea? And then the FDA puts its stamp of approval on it and says, hey, this is okay for you to eat. Which is why we should never trust FDA approval about anything. Unbelievable. Okay, so let's give the website again. The website is burnthefatfeedthemuscle.com. You can get Tom Venuto's book there, or you can go to Amazon.com. It seems like there's a slightly better price at Amazon.com, but you can go to burnthefatfeedthemuscle.com to learn about the book. He's got great information there. I don't know why we haven't had you on the show sooner, Tom.
Me neither, but I'll be happy to come on anytime you'll have me.
There you go. Listen, I want to thank you for coming on today, okay?
Thank you.
Take care. We want to thank Brad Schoenfeld for coming on and talking about his recent research, the effects of protein timing on muscle strength and hypertrophy. You can actually find that study on the internet. It is available for free. If you just Google the effects of protein timing on muscle strength and hypertrophy and then put Brad Schoenfeld's name in there and you'll find it. So you could read it yourself. But thank you to him for coming on, and also his website. Very easy to remember. We all aspire to look great naked, and that's his website, lookgreatnaked.com. I want to thank everybody for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume, because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch. Thousands.